federal government's placed a priority on reducing suicide rates during this parliamentary term, and the Prime Minister says he's working towards a zero suicide goal. The Productivity Commission is examining mental health. Its report's due next May. The newly appointed National Mental Health Commission chief is reviewing how all governments deal with it. And tomorrow, Victoria's Royal Commission will examine Indigenous suicide. A long-time suicide prevention and poverty researcher says no more money is needed for research. He argues that experts know what works and that funds should be pumped into that. Jerry Georgiatos is the coordinator of the National Suicide Prevention Trauma Recovery Project, and he joined me earlier. Jerry Georgiatos, welcome to AAM. Hundreds of millions of dollars is spent every year, and the suicide rate has gone up in recent times, not down. How worrying is that?
Oh, it's going to continue to go up. There's a permanency of trend of an increasing suicide toll. The accumulation of life stresses are increasing. Socioeconomic disadvantage is increasing. The suicide toll will increase. The research has been done, and we're now rebadging research. We are forever investing in research. There should be a moratorium on research spend, and all monies should hit the ground on suicide prevention and mental health well-being.
So I take it from what you're saying, you argue that there isn't a case to conduct or commission new research, that the answers are there already. Is that what you're saying?
There is no new research to be done. The research that we're doing now is being rebadged. It is the same research again each year. At best, we might be updating some of the research. There's no need to update research when we're not implementing enough of the recommendations and the nutshell recommendations that are being found in every single report year after year. And all spend now should be done on in-reach, outreach, mental health, well-being and suicide prevention infrastructure and architecture, and in the improving of people's life circumstance and the outreach is a missing link. The outreach is a missing link. All the money that's been spent on research, which is in the tens of millions and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars each year, could create task forces, intensify outreach, assertive outreach, and be there to actually support people through very vulnerable and critically vulnerable times. The most vulnerable, the critically vulnerable, will not walk through any door. We need the outreach to support them.
What do you mean by outreach?
Outreach means the capacity for mainstream services to be able to respond on a 24/7 basis to people who are vulnerable, who have actually also attempted or put up their hand that they're suicidally ideating, and for outreach workers who are psychologists, who are psychosocial counsellors, to be able to visit in crisis response and also through aftercare individuals who have been discharged from hospitals, who have attempted suicide but have nowhere to go but back to the family home or other circumstance, who are suicidally ideating and have no one to turn to. And I run an outreach service, so I know what the unmet need is. We respond 24/7. People have nowhere to turn to after they're being discharged from hospital. Our hospital systems don't have the beds to take care of them, and there aren't enough places of well-being where they can seek respite and be supported or be placed within. So in the very least, we need the outreach, the support workers to support them through the direst of their circumstance.
To enable that, I mean, effectively, there is a lot of money going into accident health and emergency right now to deal with people that turn up there seeking help. But the kind of service change that you're arguing for would mean a complete flipping, from what I'm hearing, of what we currently do. Do you think there's political will to do that?
I don't think the political will is there, because there's a bit of a spend involved in actually investing in what I've just argued. But the political will needs to be there if we're going to improve lives and improve lives to the extent that we need to change lives to save lives. That political will needs to be galvanised, and I believe there's a capacity for that political will to be galvanised, but there's a lot of work to go into to actually galvanise that political will. Otherwise, we're going to continue to lose more people than ever before. The suicide toll for all Australians will continue to increase, and it will be even more dramatic for First Nations Australians and other high-risk groups.
You've witnessed some pretty horrible tragedies yourself, but you've also helped people through crisis. What have you learned from what you've seen, and what message would you pass on to people listening today?
That the in-person people approach needs to be invested in. That people need people, and that if we can do it on a 24/7 basis, if people have somewhere to turn to, if hospitals and triages have somewhere to turn to, if hospitals, when they're discharging people a day or two after an attempt, have somewhere to turn them to, or to some group of workers to be able to turn them to, the critical mass of that support, then we can change lives and save lives. And that's what we've been doing with the National Indigenous Critical Response Service. When I was with them 2.5 years since establishment, we did not lose any individual in the time that I was there, and we supported hundreds. While with the Suicide Prevention and Trauma Recovery Project, similarly so. Thus far, and pray it may continue to be so, we have not lost anyone, but that's because we have been there in person, in support, intense psychosocial support on a needs basis.
Jerry Georgiatis, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Much respect. Thank you, Sabra.
And that's Jerry Georgiatis from the National Suicide Prevention and Trauma Recovery Project. And if you or anyone you know needs help, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14.